heard downstairs during Sunday school somebody say when they're taking steps with Jesus, they take one step and it feels like Jesus takes 10. How Jesus just does so much for them. But they also mentioned like if they stop taking steps, it feels like the whole thing stops. You know, like Jesus is doing a lot as long as we're doing our little bit. And worship service is like that. It's already been like that. And it's going to continue to be like that during the sermon of like, you're going to, Jesus can show up in a big way if you show up, right? And so we're going to pray one more time. Jesus, I, as the preacher today, like I don't have what everybody in the room and online, what they need. You have it, Jesus. We're coming here to get to know you and to be filled up with your Holy Spirit. We're going to give you our attention, Jesus, and we're going to try to give you our obedience. Please help us. In your name we pray. Amen. So, let's do our part. I'm going to get us imagining. If you were a group of kids, this would be easy. As adults, we're going to start hard maybe, right? So I want you to imagine, we've got somebody asleep here in the picture. I want you to think about having a dream on one side. You got a glorious creature. Picture, what does that look like? Is that an angel to you with a harp or something? Is it some sort of something else? Some eagle or something? What's something that's like, wow, like that's amazing, it's incredible, reminds me of God's goodness. I want you to picture, whether it's an animal, a person, whatever. I know this sounds silly, but picture like a glorious creature. Try. Okay? Anybody want to throw out any physical descriptions of what you saw? Mine had fur and feathers. It was pretty weird looking. Heather's did too? Yeah, there you go. We're somehow bonded there. Yeah. Anybody else want to throw out? What was the description? Was there a lot of light? Clouds? Okay. So that's a glorious creature. Now I want you to kind of picture the nightmare creature. This is the opposite of that. Like straight out of the pit of hell. Like what do you picture? What's some sort of hideous, horrible creature? So I've closed your eyes, if you will, nightmare moment, and picture it. Any colors anybody want to throw out? Gray, black, tentacles, smoke, like ooey, goo, gut, you know, weirdness trailing behind it. Okay, why did I have you do that? Well, and hang on the slides, I'll kind of coach you through it, Nick, but like, there's this speech that C.S. Lewis gave called The Way to Glory. You can Google it and read it later. It's about 10 pages or so, but in it, C.S. Lewis talks about that civilizations are going to pass away. All the stuff we see, that we touch, all that stuff, it's not going to last forever, except the people we interact with. Whether it's at a restaurant or at a bank or the person you marry or whatever, right? Like people created by God are going to last forever. And C.S. Lewis talks about they're going to become, because of Jesus' work in their life, glorious and amazing to such an extent that whatever you just pictured wasn't nearly as glorious as what God's going to do, you know, in Mary Panuco's life, right? Like when Mary's fully who God wants her to be, if we saw her like that right now, we would be tempted to worship her, is what C.S. Lewis is going to tell us, right? Like, there would be like, wow, I've never seen that. Or that same person that you drive by on Nolan Road and you can't tell if they're on like Bluetooth or if they're on some sort of substance, right? Like, I've heard that from this somebody else's joke I'm stealing. But like, that same person could become something that's way more hideous than whatever nightmare you just saw. If the self-will, fear, lies, if they live those out, stretched out for eternity, banished from God's presence, like they're going to become something terrifying. So here's how C.S. Lewis puts it, if we go to this quote. It's a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, is how he words it. To remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person, I won't make you shout that out, who's the dullest and most uninteresting person you've talked to this week, or this morning, right? We won't say that. But the most dull and uninteresting person that you talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, and then the next slide, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. This idea, the weight of glory, is this idea like God, at the end of our life, is going to either glorify us by saying, like, Kyle, like, I'm well pleased with you. And that's going to be a glory to be accepted by God. Or there's going to be like, Jake, depart from me. I never knew you, right? And this like hideous shame, right? And that every person we interact with is headed towards this big moment with God. And it's hard when we're interacting with people and we're in a hurry to realize the significance of each person, right? C.S. Lewis talks about, like, if we try to have that attitude and we stay prideful, it'll crush us, right? We have to be really humble to walk around and keep that in the forefront of our mind. That all these people are eternal. That they really matter in a way that nothing else on earth matters. So why am I bringing us this way to glory stuff? Well, we're going to jump into the book of Revelations pretty quick. We're going to kind of stick our toe into the water in the book of Revelation today. But it's getting us somewhere, so stick with me on it. And if you've read that book, the opening of the book, chapters like 2 and 3, it has Jesus himself talking to seven churches. And here's Jesus' formula with those churches. He starts off with some encouragement. Like, here's what I see that you're doing that's right. And then he lays into them. Here's what I'm seeing that you need to change for most of the churches. One of them is like, just hold on. It's really rough for you guys, right? But for most of them, it's like, here's what you need to do that's different. And then he ends it with like some big blessing that's typically wrapped up into him and to eternity with him. We're not going to do this today, but I think if you've been at Maywood for a minute, it would be a great conversation for you to have with God. Of like, God, or Jesus, like, what would you say about Maywood? Like, what would you say, like, Maywood, keep doing this. You're doing this good. And what would you say, like, Maywood, if you don't turn it around, there's going to be some real problems for you in these areas. Because I bet Jesus is going to have opinions on both of those that really matter. And then what would Jesus' blessing be to us, right? I'm going to read you one of the blessings. It's my favorite, not because it's probably the best. It's just it stuck out to me. I could give you a long story on that, but here's it is. So this is the end of, it's a church that's hard to pronounce, Smyrna, or sorry, I'm telling you the wrong church. It's Revelation chapter 2, 17, if you want to turn there, Pergamum. But here's how Jesus finishes up blessing them. He says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, like is obedient to what Jesus has been telling them, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. It's this interesting promise from Jesus, right? That Jesus knows our true name, and that when we're fully who Jesus created us to be, that there'll be some connection between us and Jesus that no one else will understand. And I don't think it's a secret like Jesus whispers it to us and no one else hears. I think it's the sort of thing of like sometimes when you know somebody really well, you can, and when you're really good at something, like professional athletes will have this or something, like they can notice that something just happened that like they couldn't even really explain to someone else, right? Like, but the two of them can understand it with just a head nod or something, right? Like they saw it and it's, you have to be them to understand it. Like it's not, they're not keeping it a secret on purpose. It just is a secret because nobody else would get it. And that at some level, like when Brandy becomes who she's meant to be, there'll be this secret between her and Jesus that only they understand. The same for Brianna, the same for EJ, right? But like when EJ is exactly who God created him to be, that there'll be something that Jesus is able to say, like, here's who I made you to be. And it's summed up somehow in this name in the stone. But it's just between the two of us. George MacDonald has a sermon about this from the 1800s, and he talks about that all of eternity, he thinks we're going to be able to talk to each other about God more and more, and help each other understand God more and more, because it's not like we're just going to get there and be like, oh, I saw God, like, what's next? You know, it's not like we're just, like, done with that, right? But there's this idea that, like, Precious has something to teach me about God that I'll never be able to get to on my own, because she has a unique relationship with him, and I'll have a unique relationship with him, and Chrissy will have a unique relationship with him, and Mitch will, right? And I think, like, when we get to spend eternity with Jesus, obviously we're going to be way better people, way more connected to God, able to express those things more fully. But I got this picture. I'm sure the stone that Jesus will give us when we follow him will be cooler than this. I tried to find a white stone that looked unique. But I think right now, in an imperfect way, we can live into this thing that we'll be able to perfectly do. We're in the new city with Jesus. I think right now, Craig can teach me something about Jesus that I can't learn on my own. And that Cassie could teach both of us something up in the balcony that, like, I can't learn on my own. You guys starting to sticking with me on that? Some of us, the way we live our life, like, it seems like we don't really want to know Jesus very much. Like, Jesus is revealed in the Bible. If we never open it up and never read it, it's like we're not trying very hard, right? But I believe that totally. We should be reading the Bible. But I also believe, like, Jesus is inside each Christian. And we can get to know Jesus through finding out, like, what do they know about Jesus? And today, like, I want to open our eyes to that, right? Like, if you really want to get to know Jesus, it should change the way you approach other Christians. So, touch further on this. We're going to go one toe more into Revelation. So, Revelation chapter 12, got this crazy picture of this weird little dragon thing. Revelation 12 is a wild chapter. It is all over the place on time scale. It's talking about Jesus being born, and it's talking about, like, a war in heaven, and all sorts of stuff's happening. There's a lot of figurative language. There's a bunch of stuff I don't understand, and parts that I think I understand I'm probably wrong about, right? Like, so why do I bring it up? Well, it is like you pull back the curtain a little bit in Revelation 12 of a lot of stuff that happens with angels and demons and the spiritual realm, like stuff we can't see. But there is a piece of Romans 12, I think, like, it's a truth that I think matters for us in this season at Maywood. It comes in verse 11, if you've already turned there, you can already see it in your Bible, but verse 11, we'll put it up on screen. This is talking about Satan has been thrown down to earth. Satan's all mad. Satan's working against the people of God, trying to persecute them. We've probably experienced a lot of that ourselves, right? That's the zone we're in right now. But then it's talking about people who overcome. It says they triumphed over him. The him there is talking about Satan, talking about evil. They triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb. That's capital L. That's talking about Jesus, God's Son. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. So this is coming right off the heels of, like, some sort of giant spiritual battle with Michael and the archangels, like stuff we don't understand, stuff that we would not be helpful of at all, right? And then it mentions the blood of Jesus, which, like, I don't think there's anything more powerful than the blood of Jesus, right? And then, like, in the company of that, it says the word of their testimony. It kind of feels like we're outclassed, right? Like, you're suddenly like, whoa, like, why are we included? Especially once you got Jesus' blood, like, what else is even needed? But here, it's revealed to us right now that, like, we all need Jesus' blood. If we don't get over sin, either in a forgiveness way or in a purified, like, starting to live holy way, without Jesus, right? 1 John 1:9 makes it clear, but it's all over the New Testament, right? Like, we need Jesus. We need what he did on the cross. He died for us and he rose again. Jesus died and rose again about 2,000 years ago. But we can look around our neighborhood and see battles that Satan has won, even though Jesus bled out perfect blood, offered it to the whole world, and conquered death. Jesus did all that, and we're still living in this time where there's people that are fallen, people that are dead in their 20s that shouldn't have been, right? Families that are split apart, even little things, right? I mean, like, I had apologized multiple times yesterday, members of my own household, right? I mean, like, just Satan wins even in small things, even with us Christians, right? So what do we fight against the forces of evil with? One of the things we fight with is, like, we got to accept Jesus. If you're in the room today and you're like, I don't really know Jesus. I've been going to some meetings. I'm hearing about a higher power. Some guy at the meeting said this, his higher power is a motorcycle that he drives or something. You know, like, if you're in that zone, like, you need to actually have a real relationship with Jesus. Like, that's what we're about here. And, like, there's all sorts of stuff that can cloud you, and you're trying to get sober, and you're just sitting here figuring it out. Like, we're glad to have you in the room. But I got to tell you the truth that, like, we believe, like, Jesus is the one that can really set people free. And so, if you want that relationship with Jesus, like, you can have it today by saying, Jesus, I can't live my life by myself. I need your help. I believe you died and rose again, and I want you. I want a new life with you. It's that simple to start. But if you're going to keep having victories, and if our neighborhood is going to change, people have to talk about what Jesus has done in their life. Because Jesus has done something in Daniel's life that's going to help somebody in a way that my life story can't help somebody, right? So, kind of a strange way to introduce our series. You're like, how long is this sermon going to be if that was all introduction? It's not going to be very long. Normally I give you, like, here's our series, right? Well, here's the series that we're just jumping into. But I give you all that to get to this little series slide. In the month of April, we're going to be talking about sharing Jesus. I have this person sharing some fruit, right? I'm a big fan of oranges. Fresh oranges are amazing, right? But if you've ever been, if you've ever tasted like a fresh orange and like burst in your mouth, you want to share it. Because you can't really describe with words what just happened, right? It's not like an orange from Aldi, right? It's like, it's different. It's right off a tree. This whole month, we're going to be talking about sharing Jesus. We're going to have some moments where we share Jesus. But right out of the gate, I don't want to give you guys a pep talk on, like, here's the three ways for you to tell your story quick and not annoy people or whatever, like, the first thing I want Maywood to be able to do is to listen well to other people's testimonies. I'll say that again. I'll try to help it be easy today to listen well, right? We want to listen well to other Christians' testimonies. Because none of us are so good that we don't need the help of other people's testimonies. Right? And if we're really in love with Jesus, then we're going to want to hear about what Jesus has done in someone else's life. Because Jesus has done something for Richie that's going to show me a part of Jesus that I'll never be able to experience on my own, right? I mean, that's what that white stone thing is about. It's like everybody gets an individual relationship with Jesus. We all got a chance to share something with each other that's unique. Okay? So we're talking about sharing with Jesus, but today when I was riding my little bicycle into church, it was cold first thing this morning. My nose is running grossly on my little bicycle. I'm not an attractive person on my little bicycle on any stretch, right? But especially not this morning, my little nose is running. But on Winter Road, there's all these trees in bloom, but there's one tree that smells better than all the rest, according to Jake Taylor. And I knew about it from last year, and I was trying not to miss it this morning. So even though my nose is running, I'm like trying to get my nose able to function again because that tree is coming up. And I don't know if it's because my nose was off or because of the time of the year I've kind of missed it, but I like only because I was really paying attention, like, did I catch a little whiff of what, like, knocked my socks off last year. It was, like, filling the whole street. Sometimes you come across somebody's testimony, and it just will blow you away, and you, like, can't not pay attention to it. But I think I'm probably the only person in the whole room that smelled that tree this morning, right? I mean, even though it's amazing, I knew about it, and even though it was hard to kind of get it right, like, I was looking for it, or smelling for it, as weird as that sounds, right? This week, I want you to act like that with the Christians that you meet. And maybe the only Christians you're going to meet are here inside of Maywood. That might be true for you. I don't know where you live or where you work. But if you're blessed enough to have some other Christian around you this week, be looking for Jesus in their stories about Jesus. So this little picture of this hearing aid. It's kind of a younger guy wearing a hearing aid. I want you to picture that, like, you're like that. Like, say a prayer in the morning, like, Jesus, put a hearing aid on my ears to hear about you from somebody else. Like, I want to get to know you through somebody else's story. I was hearing an amazing story earlier. I'm going to let you guys hear some of it. I'm coming to you, Andrew, in just a second. I heard some of Andrew's amazing story, and then I said, like, Andrew, tell me about how you met Jesus. Like, it's okay to throw in some questions, right? Like, let's just get it clear. Let's talk about Jesus, right? Because if someone's talking about, like, all these good things are happening in my life with God, ask them about Jesus, right? So I love sermons where we get to do something about it. So we're going to let Andrew talk here for a second. So I just met Andrew this morning, but Andrew was talking about trying to get some jobs, and one job paid really well, one job didn't pay super well. Tell us about how God took care of you in this. Okay. Hey, Nick, can you help us out with this wireless mic? Is it good? Try again. Yep.
There it goes.
There you go.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Andrew Riley. If y'all don't know, I'm a drug addict, alcoholic, sinner. You know, everything without God that is against God. I'm going to try to make this brief, you know what I mean? And bear with me. First time I've ever been on a microphone. Yeah. But, you know, some time ago, I was homeless. I was actively using every kind of drug I could get my hand on. I was not living for God. I did not know Jesus. I lived in my own will. So, you know, despite the fact that I was raised in church, you know, my connection with the Lord, like a Wi-Fi signal, you know, and at some time part of my life, I decided not to pay my Wi-Fi bill and got turned off. So I had to get it back. About 8 degrees below zero outside, I was living out there. I had already been to the hospital for frostbite, you know, about to get my toe and everything amputated, and by God's grace, I didn't. But the night when I decided to give my life back to the Lord, I was in Grandview, Truman Corners, sleeping behind Burlington in the woods, and it was freezing. It was deadly, deadly cold out there, and I prayed. And this time when I prayed, I actually meant it, you know, and I said, Lord, it's cold. I don't know if I'm going to make it tonight. I don't know, you know, but after praying, the security guard that drives around Truman Corners, he could not stand me. I could not stand him. But God brought him to my life that night because he rolled past, said some stuff to me, and I said the wrong thing, but the right thing, because whatever I said to that man, it was enough to make him go call the Grandview police. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is the thing. This is the part where God loves to show up and show out. Because when he did, you know, the police got there. I had 5 warrants out for my arrest. 5 of them. 3 probation violations and 2 traffic tickets. And I had drug paraphernalia on me. Well, this is where God showed up and showed out, because when he got there, the police said, "Andy, forget about your warrants." He took my drug paraphernalia, threw it on the ground, stomped on it. He said, "Hey, push come to shove, you want to go to a crisis center?" That ain't nothing but God. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. And I said, yeah. From that day, I haven't turned back. I haven't looked back. You know, I haven't, I mean, I don't have much time, you know, but I do have today, you know, and just for today, I haven't found it necessary to use since January 29th, 2025. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. I'm going to say this one more thing, and I'm going to close it out. Those warrants that I had, I went to court. I had 3 assault charges, and I was on probation for all 3 of those charges, and I had caught a new one. I pled not guilty to 1, sat in jail for 1 week. When I went back to court, the witnesses didn't show up. Victim, so-called victim, didn't show up. That case was dismissed. The other probations that I was on were thrown out. That was the first time in my life walked in a courtroom and left completely free. No probation, no none of that. Thank you, Lord. Oh, sorry, y'all. One more thing. Because I'm serious. I'm done after this, I promise. I went to the hospital. I had frostbite on my feet real bad, my big toe mainly. They were going to amputate it. They were. But I got into the I went to the surgery clinic. They got the pill in and didn't put me to sleep, no numb pain, nothing. They just grabbed my toe and took a blade and started cutting it off. Well, up under all that scar tissue, my toe was just fine. You know, just fine. Well, Andy, we don't have to cut your toe off today. You know, and if you clean it and put this stuff on it and bandage it, you know, it'll get better. But then there was another medicine that I needed, and it was down in the pharmacy. And when I went to the pharmacy, they said, "Hey, with your Truman discount, you can get this medicine $14. I had a $10 bill in my pocket, y'all. $10. And I said, "Well, ma'am, I might have to come back another time and get it because I only have $10. Well, she said, "Hold on, let me see something." I don't know what she typed in that computer, but whatever she typed in, she said, "Oh, you know what, Andy? You have Medicaid. It's free."
Yeah. He's got it.
Good stuff, Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I was one of the worst, y'all. And if he can do it for me, he will do it for everybody. And I'm glad for the pastor for letting me share that.
Yeah, definitely, Andrew. Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah. So here's the amazing thing about Andrew's life, and I think you'll find this with other people too, is that wasn't even the story I was going to have Andrew share, you know? And but so here's the deal. Like, if you want more of Andrew, like, ask him about why, like, the 8-hour job is better than the 12-hour job. I'll leave that for you guys. Like, you guys go ask him about that. And the thing you'll find with other people is that too, right? If you will open your heart up, you can get to know Jesus better. And it's not just somebody that's been following Jesus since January. It's also somebody who's been following Jesus for 80 years, right? And sometimes we don't even know where to begin talking to somebody like that. But ask them, like, how has Jesus shown up in your life recently? What has Jesus done for you that's changed your day here lately? Or any sort of question, right? Last thought, and we're closing out. C.S. Lewis goes on to talk about this way to glory speech is really about how to love well. And he says we got to take each other seriously. I think what he's talking about is showing up with actual respect. A lot of times we're in too big of a hurry to actually respect the people around us. But C.S. Lewis talks about, like, real merriment, not just flippancy. And then he talks about real love, not just kind of indulgence. So here's the last little quote from C.S. Lewis we're going to wrap up on. We really value the people around us. He says, our charity must be real and costly love with deep feeling for the sins in spite of which we love the sinner. No mere tolerance or indulgence which parodies love as flippancy parodies merriment. When we actually love somebody and think like that person is going to live forever, and the thing that they're struggling with right now, it's going to matter, then it's worth showing up even in the hard things and saying, I love you and I see Jesus through you, but I also need to talk to you about this problem, right? If we come to people with respect that Jesus is really in them and they have a real eternal purpose, it changes it, right? It even changes the way we handle when they do something wrong. Not that we hit them with a club, but they're like, this matters, right? We can't just shove it under a rug. If you're never going to see somebody again, sometimes you think like, it doesn't matter that they did that. But when someone's living in your own house, like you probably need to deal with the problems that come up, right? Because you're going to see them again. We're hoping to all see each other through all eternity, right? Like, you know, like let's work on our stuff now, right? I want to pray us out. Same thing we've been praying, but I think it's worth keep praying, right? That God would be with us, right? If you want to open up your hands and receive this, you can. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.